I'm in the early stages of writing a book tentatively titled Big Coal with people like Bob Burton and Guy Pearce. And it's been very interesting for me to listen to the debates this weekend. A short while ago, I circulated an open letter to people I knew in the environment movement and unions, putting forward an idea. I think sometimes when you're in a campaign for social change, it's a bit like a marathon or a long distance run. You're kind of, all your energy is concentrated on just keeping going. And it's sometimes easy to miss when something changes and an opportunity opens up. And I think that's what's happening at the moment. Because Australian politics have entered a rather unusual, unexpected situation. We have a government, a minority Labor government, that has nailed its colours to the mast on taking action on climate. We have an opposition that has similarly made it clear where it stands, and that is on the side of the climate deniers. And as Adam Bandt said this morning, Abbott is one step away from being Prime Minister. In addition to this stark opposition between the two parties, we have another factor. Tony Abbott has decided to call into life what he calls a people's revolt against the carbon tax. And this has seen the beginnings of a number of street demonstrations, one of which was held in Canberra, which went very badly for him. Thank God for that. Another one's going to be held in Blacktown in Sydney very shortly in the heart of the western suburbs. And in many ways, the Liberals are mimicking the Tea Party movement, which has been very powerful in the US, that strange way in which the right begins to reach down into working class people, ordinary people, and get them stirred up, speaks in their name quite falsely, and starts to use them as a political force. And that is very powerful. It's important not to underestimate it. And the Liberals obviously hope to ride this wave of popular scepticism, ride it back into government. So climate change is now at the centre of mainstream parliamentary politics in a way it has not been, perhaps since the late Rudd period, but of course now with a new factor of a public involvement by worried conservative people, some of whom are completely crazy, others of whom are obviously have some degree of sincerity. I think we're at a turning point, at least for a few years. It's a very ominous situation, but as I said, I think there is a tremendous opportunity. It's ominous because the whole thing pivots on the fate of government action on climate change. And again, as someone said this morning, Abbott says this is about a carbon tax. It's not about a carbon tax. It's about whether you understand and want to act on climate change or whether you don't. That's the decision that the Australian people are being faced with. And if Abbott succeeds, and there is quite a likelihood that he will, it may stop climate action for a decade or more, and that is time we simply do not have. Labor is committed to some form of action, some sort of pricing of carbon, and if it fumbles, we'll see a repeat of the collapse of Kevin Rudd's support. So Labor and the Greens really have only one direction to go, that is forward, and retreat will be fatal. In this situation, I want to put forward a proposal which, in different ways, a number of people have articulated this weekend. Before I do, the government and some of the large environmental NGOs have a strategy. As far as I can determine, it largely depends on a government advertising campaign and a number of other things, a hyped up, stepped up performance from Gillard herself and so on. In my view, depending on a government advertising campaign will simply reinforce this populist notion that the question is big government versus the people. They're spending your money, etc. Statements from the Prime Minister, even if the Labor Party leadership became quite active on this thing, if Abbott can point to a series of demonstrations around the country by angry people on the news, etc., that will nullify however eloquent the Labor case is. And as we know, the fate of this government is just totally depends on the goodwill and health of the two independent MPs. I think there is a possibility of doing something, but before I outline that, perhaps rather counterintuitively, I want to look at what I think are some of the problems in our own movement, in the movement for social change and environmental, tackling climate. One of the problems is that we tend to assume rational debate on climate will win out. It's very important to be right and to have the facts on your side, but rational debate and getting frustrated that we have the right argument but no one seems to be listening or doesn't convince people is no good. To win in life, good logic has actually got to be accompanied by powerful social forces, and that means more than numbers in opinion polls. The second mistake is to put your energy purely into lobbying governments and focusing on the intricacies of policy. I think some of the larger NGOs have become kind of bureaucratised, and the focus is on at the top level. I don't write them off. I think that they're actually crucial. But to focus on lobbying governments seems to me to be a very much, it's at the moment a kind of trap, because what the alternative is to reignite and try and build a mass mobilisation. Another problem is also a problem of strategy. It's what I would call an activist mentality, a purely activist mentality. All successful movements begin with committed activists, but at critical points, they have to transcend that and become mass movements. Fragmentation is often the order of the day in movements for social change. And often what we see is, if there is demonstrations, if there is something worth the term mobilisation, it's kind of secondary to, it's seen as a kind of media stunt. What all of this does, all of those kind of mistakes, it leaves the general public with nothing really much to do except stand and applaud at intervals. The alternative, I think, is to try and rethink the strategy, give prime importance to mobilising very large numbers of people so the political message is unmistakable and very powerful. There is a significant body of people we know, particularly young people, but extending far wider, who do understand the threat of climate change. There are many people who are appalled at the delay on climate change, including conservatives and those in business. I said things have got to be deeper than an opinion poll, but even an opinion poll shows us at least 35% of people actually agree with a carbon tax. What I'm proposing is the crucial thing. It doesn't matter that it's not 50%. The crucial thing is to mobilise people, get active, positive statements by people standing up, taking a position. To build a broad-based and independent movement which has a perspective of mobilising 100,000 people, not 10,000 people, I think means doing things differently and having a different perspective. It means breaking out of the narrowness of activism and the deep in activism and the deeply committed, and to build a situation where ordinary people with ordinary jobs can feel welcome and can express their views. We need to find political forms of action which are inclusive, so a layer of people who have not previously done so can take part. And only by convincing such people, finding the ways to convince such people, can such a genuine mass mobilisation take place. The next thing we need, I think, is a genuine commitment from those peak organisations, the ones that I'm denigrating to some extent by saying they're too obsessed with lobbying government. We need some kind of agreement, both at the top, if you like, of peak environmental organisations and at the bottom, or in the grassroots, that some kind of mass mobilisation is possible, doable and necessary. I don't think there's a problem of resources and money. If we, trade unions, for example, have a lot of money. They have money that is available for employing activists when they want to use it. So do other bodies. There's a lot of people who are prepared to do voluntary work on a scale, I think, that has never been seen before. If there is hope, if there is a possibility, if there is also fear of what an Abbott government might do. I mean, another thing you need is a kind of vision which says, well, let's mobilise these people, let's give ourselves 6 months, 8 months, not try and do things on 4 weeks, 8 weeks, that sort of thing. I think it can begin. I mean, looking as an observer over many years of the progressive movement, the thing that is most stark to me is the gulf between the old progressive movement, labour movement, and the new vital environmental movement. There is a gulf between them. So my first thought is to, about how you build such a thing, is to try and get agreement between those two large, rather disparate movements. In theory, together, those two movements can reach out to millions of people. And if these groups can reach agreement and set up some kind of organisational framework in capital cities, then we will see other NGOs, churches, conservatives, community groups, members of the Greens and the Labour Party coming together. I think for too long, progressives have been a patchwork of small lobby groups without a common theme. And today, the political situation, parliamentary situation, as well as the threat of climate change, is creating a situation where there may be a unifying theme with a common foe, which is the never-ending delay sponsored by fossil fuel companies. The aim should be to create an independent movement, not a support the government movement, which I don't think will fly at all, and it would be wrong in principle. The close comparison to the sort of thing I'm talking about in recent period is the Your Rights at Work movement. For an earlier generation, for my generation, it was the Vietnam moratorium, where you did get 150,000 people all over Australia taking action on a single day. And when you do that, it transforms the political situation. Up to the last moment, everybody was wondering, how big will the numbers be? The numbers were huge. And from that moment on, there was a turning point. And that is the kind of situation, I think, that is possible, is doable. If there is a kind of agreement and unity between the very disparate movements around here. The point I'm making, I guess, it's got to be broadly based. It's got to get beyond activists. It's got to draw people who've never before been involved in any political action. I think we're at a turning point. I think the role of activists will be critical, because even if we have agreement and an initiative from trade unions and large environmental organisations, it will mean nothing unless there are people on the ground who've been working for years to make it happen, to build suburban groups, to put into practice this vision. We face extremely powerful foes, as I've heard many times today, corporations and fossil fuel companies being the centre of it. But it is possible, if we have unity, I think, to make a very big impact.